Guacamole.
Guacamole, Batman. It is the list of the live action movies. We're going to see which ones we like, which ones we... we'll talk about that here today on Two Geeks and a Microphone.
But I don't like guacamole.
Good morning, everybody. Hey, I am your co-host, Mr. Stephen Buster, along with the one, the only, the one who just got a new dog, is about to go crazy, Mr. Michael Shanks. Mike, say hey to everybody.
Good morning to all you geeks out there in geekdom land.
I'm just saying, everybody, if you see Mike a little distracted this morning in the middle of the show, he's got a new dog.
Yeah, she was just barking just now, too. I think she's watching us on YouTube, by the way.
Okay.
So you can say hi to Luna. Luna is our new dog. She's hello, Luna. She's Luna the lunatic. That's what I call her anyway. Because she is a lunatic, that is for sure. But we're not here for dog talk today.
No, we are here to talk about bats. Specifically bats. Batman.
Bats. I like bats. Quote Vicky Vale. Vicky Vale. I'm going to go into Prince mode here now.
Man, deep cuts. That's funny.
Bat dance.
Yeah. Oh, well, everybody, we are going to be talking about the live action Batman movies, kind of doing a little deep dive and stuff. And Mike's got some interesting comments that would be kind of funny. And so with that, are we ready for geeky news?
I have no geeky news this morning.
What?
And I have no geek dar this morning. So I think it's just bat fantastic.
Okay. Well, one thing on geek dar.
Oh, you got a geek dar.
Just one thing.
Okay.
So here we go.
Hold on.
Show with the radar, sir.
What's wrong with it?
I've lost the bleeps, I've lost the sweeps, and I've lost the creeps.
The what?
The what?
And the what?
You know, the bleeps. The sweeps. And the creeps.
That's not all he's lost.
Right on. That was funny. I didn't know if you were doing that or not. I was like, do I keep going? Do I wait? Do I keep going? Do I wait?
I wasn't prepared for it because I didn't have one and I didn't know you had one and we didn't quite have a pre-show meeting really. So
we did not. We're both dealing with our dogs, everybody, before we came on the show. So it was pretty funny. So Rebel Moon Part 2 came out yesterday. So
did it? Oh, it okay.
It did. I won't say how I saw it, but I was able to watch it, sort of. Took me a while, but anyway.
Wait a minute. What do you mean? How were you able to watch? Wasn't it on Max?
It's on Netflix. Yes.
Or Netflix. Sorry, Netflix.
Yes. I will not. Will.
Oh, confirm
the where I was at when I was watching said movie.
Oh, gotcha. See, when you said that, you confused me. I was like, wait a minute. This isn't like a theater movie. What's going on here, Steven? Right. You downloading like Chinese copies or something?
Oh, right. I've been trying to get minus one for ages.
I don't even think they got it there, honestly,
Japan. It's not out yet. I just saw there's a release date, I think just got confirmed the other day, but I'm not for sure.
Oh, I can't wait.
I didn't get a chance to follow up on it. Yeah,
that's so, streaming. That goes streaming. I'm watching it again.
It is. It's going streaming. So, hey, everybody. With Rebel Moon Part 2, as you guys know, I really enjoyed Part 1. Other people did not, and that's okay. Yeah. And that's okay. I still pray for their salvation. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just teasing everybody. Hey, it is, if you've seen the first one, it's worth seeing the second one. If you didn't like the first one, like if you hated the first one, you'll probably hate the second part too. I liked it a lot. He does go full Star Wars in it, though. Like, let's not pretending we're a Star Wars movie and let's just be a Star Wars movie to a certain degree. There's no you know, force moving stuff or anything like that. But there's some really neat, quote unquote, lightsaber action sequences, for lack of a better term. But well, lightsaber is kind of like a tool. It's not really a lightsaber of special people, though.
Oh, so he has his own similar lightsaber, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's pretty cool.
I think we'll have to do a episode for part two, because we did episode for part one. So is there three parts or is it two parts?
It sets up for part three.
Okay. Okay. So
it's one of my gripes about the movie.
Let's I loved say
it, but I really enjoyed it. I really enjoyed it. I'll watch it again. Yeah. Just because, I mean, I like Zack Snyder's style and stuff. And the reason I mention that, that's going to lead into some other stuff as we talk about today with Batman. So.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Well, I mean, yeah, Zack Snyder does play a role in the Batman discussion. So,
yes,
definitely.
Yes. So,
definitely.
So, with that being said, I enjoyed it. If you get a chance to see it, if you like the first one, then you need to watch the second one. It fleshes out more story. It's a popcorn muncher. That's the best way to say it. If you go into it like a popcorn, if you go into it thinking it's going to be this incredible Lord of the Rings new IP, yes, there's lore, but I think his director's cut is supposed to come out in May, or June or something like that, in a couple more months, and it's supposed to be like 6 hours versus 4 hours total, part one and two.
I'll save any comments about the director's cut until we do the episode on it. But I got things to say.
All right, everybody. Well, with that being said, be looking forward to our RoboMoon discussion in the near future. All right, buddy.
Yeah, I look forward ready
to hit the main event.
Let's do it.
Let's do this. It's time for the main event. Batman. I will say, Mike, I thought you did a good job on the thumbnail because you put on there the 1966 Batman as well. Well,
you have to have Adam West on there. I mean, he is a major part of the Batman lore. Yes. Love him or hate him. I think most people today have a very fondness to Adam West. I know I do.
Yeah. Oh, I grew up. I couldn't wait for each Batman episode.
Oh,
I couldn't
wait.
Exactly. You know,
it wasn't until you got older. It wasn't until you got older when you went, oh, that Batman is, he's dumb and campy and silly and goofy.
Yes. Yes.
Like,
so,
like when we were teenagers.
Oh, right. Right. All right, man. What are your, how would you like to jump into this?
Well, I wanted to start with, so Batman live action actually started before Adam West. There were two serials in the 1940s. And the actors that played them were Lewis Wilson, who portrayed Batman, and Douglas Croft, who played Robin, and they were in the 1943 and I believe 49 serials of Batman. I've never watched them. I've never seen them. I've seen clips and I've seen stills and stuff from them. It's kind of neat to see that and just go, oh wow, look at the history of Batman there. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just don't have a lot of information on it, but I wanted to throw them in because I think that's important. I think a lot of people don't realize that there was a live action Batman before Adam West. Oh, it right. Looks like we got somebody in the chat. Welcome, Sam Rogers.
Hey, Sam. Good to see you again.
Yes. And moving on, we will move on to Adam West, who starred as the Batman or Batman in the 60s television series alongside Burt Ward as his faithful Robin. And again, love or hate the 66 Batman, it had an incredible cast. I think every character in it was phenomenal. You know, The Joker was great. Cesar Romero. Cesar Romero. Even with his mustache.
That's funny.
I mean, you got to look at that and laugh. It's hilarious, man. The Cesar Romero refused to shave his mustache when they said they were going to have to paint his face. And he's like, you can paint my face, but you're not shaving my mustache. So it's kind of become this joke throughout the whole, you know, bat history. And right. It's fun. I enjoy it. I enjoy his version of the Joker. Frank Goshen, I believe Frank Goshen was the Riddler. And I got to say, I think he's my favorite portrayal of the Riddler. We'll talk a little bit more about the Riddler role as we go along, but yeah, I just like him. He's so good, and I thought he fit the role really well, regardless of how campy you might think the 66 yeah. Batman.
Even Burgess Meredith doing Penguin was just
he was fantastic.
It was really good. Yeah,
I remember watching the Twilight Zone because I'm a huge Twilight Zone fan, and Burgess Meredith was in a couple episodes of Twilight Zone, but the most famous one he's in is the one where the end of the world comes and he's a bookworm. He just can't stop reading, and he works at a bank and he locks himself in the vault of the bank, and the bomb goes off and everybody's dead, and he comes out, and I'm like, I'm watching this going, oh wow, that's the Penguin. So it's cool who you see throughout the Twilight Zone series, all the different stars that wanted right. to be part of the Twilight Zone series, including William Shatner, great Captain Kirk. He was in a couple Twilight Zones.
Which, if you have not seen that, everybody, check out our Twilight Zone episodes. We did some reviews on those. Sam, real quick, I have to agree with you. Sam said the most iconic part.
Oh, yes.
I loved watching Batman run around with that bomb. I've seen so many memes off of that. It's just been hysterical. But yes, I totally agree. He's got that bomb. And then
I remember
the big shark on the ladder.
Yes, that was the other one I was going to say. The shark.
Okay, sorry.
No problem. And then of course you got the bat shark repellent. I mean, Batman has some kind of device to fight off anything in the 60s Batman, and I love it. And the big rubber shark hanging off of Batman is so funny.
Right.
One of the funniest scenes in the movie.
Yeah.
It is silly, it's campy, but it is so much fun. Just turn off your brain, go watch it, and just enjoy it for what it is. 60s fun goodness. And if nothing else, you get one of the most awesome, iconic Batmobiles in history. Fantastic. Yes. A gorgeous, yes, yes. gorgeous car. I cannot rave much more about how gorgeous that car is.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I always wanted one.
is that the one we saw when we went to St. Louis Comic Con?
In
2015?
I think so. I want to say yes, it was there.
I want to say it was in the lobby. Or not the lobby, but well, right as you're entering into the area after you checked in.
Yeah, I think it was there.
There's a couple of cars there.
General Lee was there. I know that. I remember the General Lee there. I don't remember if the 89... See, I'm tossed between the 89 Batmobile and the 66 Batmobile being my favorites.
89, I hear you. Oh, gosh.
I love it. Again, such an iconic, gorgeous car. It was so different and gothic and it's
right.
Just beautiful Batman goodness there. But yeah, so there's tons of great things. Catwoman was fantastic in that series. And we had two different actresses who played Catwoman. And my wife's going to correct me because I cannot remember who they were, and she knows both of them. But yeah, and I don't have the cast up. So
for which one?
For the 60s Batman series, you had, I think, one portrayed her in the TV series, and then the other portrayed her in the film. Eartha Kitt. Eartha Kitt was one, and then I can't think of the other one.
Julie Newmar.
Yes, Julie Newmar.
Yes.
I think, yes. I want to say Julie Newmar.
She's the TV show.
Right. Okay. Julie Newmar returned to the role for the animated Batman 66 that came out 4 or 5 years ago. Before Adam West passed away. Anyway.
Interesting.
There were two animated Batman 66 that were done, and the second one actually had Captain Kirk in it. He played Two-Face in it, because Two-Face never got introduced in the 66 series, which he was great. He would have been fantastic had they actually done that live action. That would have been fantastic. So that's pretty much all I got on the Batman 66 series. Again, watch it. Remember, it's a little campy. It was done in the 60s, but hey, it's just fun Batman goodness. That's all I got to say about that.
That's right. Okay, I have a dog situation. I will be right back. Megan, can you join in just for a minute? Nothing like live action stuff going on. I'll be right back.
No kidding. Okay, so we're going to move on to the 1989 Batman, which would happen to be my all-time favorite Batman, starring Michael Keaton, directed by Tim Burton. Tim Burton decided that he wanted to take a darker look at the Batman and get it away from the campy 60s that we had gotten before, because Batman kind of got a bad reputation at this point. It was almost a failed property. DC didn't know what to do with it anymore, because they were afraid, you know, if we did anything live action, people were gonna laugh at it. They wouldn't go see it, you know, so on and so forth. And Tim Burton came into Warner Brothers production offices or whatever, and he's like, hey, I got this great idea for Batman. I'm a huge Batman fan, and I want to do something with it. Now, Batman 89 was out before you were born, Megan, but you grew up with the 89 Batman. Being my daughter, you watched it a lot. How do you feel about the 89 Batman? What do you think about that film?
I would probably say it's my favorite too.
Nice. Probably my influence, but
probably. Probably
89. Yes. I was just saying how 89 is definitely my all-time favorite Batman, and I was asking Megan how she felt about the 89, and she said probably hers too, but I might have a little to do with that influence there.
Yeah.
89's good. I've really seen it all my life.
Right.
89's good. You just say 89's good so nonchalantly. It's like, Do you forget the Batman craze of 1989 and 1990? I mean, no matter where you went, you saw the bat symbol. Everyone was wearing Batman t-shirts.
We've had better Batman since then.
Oh!
Shots fired!
Yeah, shots fired. That's why they went back to Michael Keaton, I'm just saying.
Right.
Of course, I guess it could be argued that they actually went back to Clooney, but dang.
You don't want to talk about it.
That hurts.
You know, I didn't think about adding the Flash movies to my list, because technically those are live action.
Well, I figured the Flash movie would be kind of a bonus. That's the way I looked at it.
Nice. Okay.
And I got a reason for that too, because we get more than one Batman in it.
Yeah. You're wonderful, Bride. Keaton was much more better.
Yes. Cheers.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Keaton's the one that was at the Keaton was the one that was at the whatever awards just happened a couple months ago. And Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger was up presenting, and they're both like, yeah, we were in the Batman films. Batman beat you too, didn't he? Yeah. How'd he beat you? And, you know, they're going through all this stuff. Hey, wait a minute. There he is out there in the audience. How dare you show up? And Michael Keaton sitting there in all his glory, just going, come at me. Come at me. Come on. Bring it on. I love it. There's a reason it was Michael Keaton and not any other actor.
You're so funny. But I will. You are correct, though. In 89.
Wait a minute. What was that? Did you say I was correct?
I did say that in 89. That in 89, it was a Batman craze, because that was such a unique, dark take on the Batman, which needed to be dark because he is the Dark Knight, you know, kind of a thing. And it was the best of the three of the Schumacher or Tim Burton did Batman. Tim Burton did Batman Returns. I did not like Batman Returns. It was too dark. It was too I was used to the Burgess Meredith Penguin, the classy thing. And not saying Danny DeVito didn't do a good job. It was just gross, where I always thought Penguin would be classy. But it was the best of that. I guess the Michael Keaton wins. I guess Batman Forever. I don't know if we should put it on our list or not.
Well, yeah, Batman Forever and Batman and Robin are on the list.
Yeah.
to my chagrin, they are definitely on the list. So Batman 89 to me is top. So that's just the number one Batman. That is the Batman movie I return to the most out of all of them.
Okay.
Another thing about 89 is that's my favorite live action Joker.
Ooh, yeah, it was mine too. And I have such a hard time nowadays. There's
everybody. I don't think I can stay on this show today. I'm just saying.
There's a second Joker now that I.
It's okay to be wrong.
What?
It's okay to be wrong.
I don't understand why you think that, but okay, all right.
I'm just teasing. Go ahead, keep going. I'm kidding. I'm kidding around. Go ahead.
We'll get into the other Joker in a little bit. I don't want to jump into it, but yes, Jack Nicholson. Oh my gosh, phenomenal! Great. You know, actor. And again, Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson are two of my all-time favorite actors. I love both of those actors, and I was a big fan of them back then, at that time. So that's another reason that film is just so good to me. You know, I just love it. And the Joker's really lines are so quotable.
Yeah. I just really like the mobster Joker.
Yes. Yes. Mobster Joker is excellent.
The true mobster Joker, not what they tried to do with Jared Leto.
Oh.
They tried to make him, if you listen to the one song. What's the song?
I don't know. What song?
Where I can't think of what it's called. Hold on. I have it in my playlist.
Okay.
You look for that.
I didn't. We'll have to do a ranking Jokers episode almost.
Oh, I'm all for that.
I think we should.
It's going to be tough for me. It's going to be really tough.
Well, I don't think so. Not for you. I think you've already known them, but I'm just. Gosh, I wasn't even thinking Jared Leto kind of thing, but I will say this.
I know where Jared Leto goes on that list.
Yeah. The balance of Michael Keaton, which I was not prepared. I was like, Michael Keaton as Batman, but actually he did a great job. He did a good job.
You were with the whole world. All of us said the same thing. In 1989, we were all going, well, probably 1988 is when we all started hearing that Michael Keaton was going to portray Batman. And the big thing was, what, Mr. Mom is going to be Batman?
Right. But that balance between him and Jack Nicholson as the Joker was just an incredible pairing.
Yes.
And what really helped make that movie. And Jack Nicholson was really good as the Joker. He is one of the best. He's not my favorite, but I guarantee you he is one of the best has done Joker. I mean that overall. I mean, I will even say, while I enjoy and love Mark Hamill's Joker.
Agreed.
Quite a bit. I will say that Jack Nicholson Joker was fresh at the time. But even over even Mark Hamill's Joker, I would put, if you asked me to rank them, and I know I'm not ranking them, but I would just say it's because of that pairing between the two. It's almost like we've got several pairings in the Batman universe that worked great. Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson.
That's a good statement. I like that, you know, because it's not just the Joker, but the pairing between Batman and the Joker. Oh, very good.
So I if you ask me to pair them, like which pairs were the best, I will give it to you that Michael Keaton and Jack Nicholson would be number one of the pairings.
Wow. I never thought of it that way.
If you look at Christian Bale and Heath Ledger, they were good. They were really good, but it was really more of Heath Ledger's performance as Joker for me that was phenomenal.
Yes.
It overshadowed Christian Bale. So they were okay. So I would put them at number three, but number two would definitely be Kevin Conroy. I know it's not live action, but you still
thanks for joining us, Sam. Sam's bailing out on us.
Have a good night.
Oh, have a good night, Sam. Thank you.
I think Sam's in Australia, isn't he?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Yep. So then but Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill as the Batman Joker combo is really phenomenal as well. So you've got these interesting pairings. You don't have that with any other ones. The other pairings between Batman and Joker is they're just not the same. Cause it's almost like they we're moving into crazy territory here. Cause I don't know if
when you put it that way, that kind of helps me rank the Joker's a little bit better because I struggle between one and two with my favorite, you know, who my favorites in one and two there. But when you say it that way, it's like, ooh, well, yeah. And I'll have to save that for if we're going to do a Joker episode.
Well, yeah. If we do a Joker episode, and I think we should, and even more Joker-esque stuff, storylines and, you know, we did do a thing on the three Jokers, which is just fabulous, which I'm so thankful you introduced me to that.
A good story.
It's a great story. Really good. Great twist. Great monologue at the end, too. I mean, you know. So anyway, so I will give you the Batman 89 talking about, I know it's your favorite one. I will give it to you as the best combo of Joker, Batman, Joker lore.
I see that
in the live action.
That's fair. Did you find your song, Megan?
Yeah, it's Gangster. It's from the Suicide Squad movie.
Yes.
Oh,
I have that one on my list actually.
Oh, did you? I didn't put Suicide. I actually forgot. Yeah, Batman was in Suicide Squad. I forgot about that.
Well, you know, I love me some Ben Affleck Batman. So.
Oh yeah, yeah. Well, I wanted to make sure include Ben Affleck. That's why I have Batman v Superman on my list.
Yes, but I have Batman v Superman on mine. Yeah. Yep.
Okay, so the song was Gangster, Megan?
It's Gangsta.
Gangsta.
Ends with an A. But yeah.
And what is it about that song then?
I mean, it's a Harley-centric song, or at least that's how I took it.
I don't remember the song. But
well, I can't really play it.
I know. We'll get
in trouble.
We'll get a copyright strike if we. You can play like a few seconds of it, but you got to be careful.
But I mean, like, here, let me try to get the lyrics because it's their weird love song, basically, and it's they don't paint Jared Leto as a mobster really, but I kind of equate gangster and mobster.
I don't know what Jared Leto's Joker really is, honestly. I mean, weird. I can tell you exactly what the Jack Nicholson Joker is. I could tell you exactly what the Heath Ledger Joker is. Mm-hmm. The Jared Leto, I just don't know.
It seemed like they were kind of trying to nod to Jack Nicholson, but I don't think it worked out.
No, it didn't work at all.
No. Well, let's save that for our Joker episode. Let's get back to our Batman films, because we still have a lot to get through in the next half hour.
So next on the list is Batman Returns, which, by the way, it is a Christmas movie, and I do watch it at Christmas time.
That's funny. That's awesome.
I mean, it's flat out a Christmas film.
It happens at Christmas.
Oh, it definitely happens at Christmas. You got Miss Gotham or whatever lighting the Christmas tree, and then that's when everything explodes, and you know, and
Batman
all
kills
those
people.
Oh my gosh, here we go.
Just saying.
You don't see anyone die. I'm just saying that. If you don't see them die on screen, they didn't die. So whatever.
Okay.
The Penguin tried to kill Batman in the new Batman movie. He thought he did because there was a big explosion, and all of a sudden the Batmobile came flying out of it, which was a great scene, by the way.
I enjoyed one of my favorite scenes
in that movie. Yes. I was just rewatching that one this morning, so it's kind of fresh in my mind a little bit. The 1992 Batman Returns, which was also directed by Tim Burton. Yes, it was a very dark Batman film, but I think we got a great portrayal of Catwoman. I love Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman. She's my favorite Catwoman. I love it when she comes home to the apartment and she listens back to her messages, and then she gets herself calling her from the office going, "Honey, I hate to tell you this, but you got to go all the way back to the offices and get the files ready for Max Schreck and blah, blah, blah." And she's like, "Oh, no." And then she goes back to it, and then she finds the files, actually revealing what Max Schreck's doing. And he walks in on her, basically, spoiler alert, he thinks he kills her by pushing her out the window. It does not kill her. She goes back to her apartment all tattered and crazy, walks in and goes, "Hello, honey, I'm home." "Oh, that's right. I'm not married." And then she's got the neon lights behind her that says "hello" there. And she scratches out the O and scratches out the T, and then it says "hell" here. I love it. I just love her. I can't say much more about her. She's just so fantastic.
Right.
So
on.
She to me is one of the big highlights of Batman Returns.
Cool. Real quick, shout out Wilkie's Movies and Music. Hey all, welcome. Hey. Welcome to the show. Nice to have you.
Yes, welcome. Wilkie's Music, Movies and Music. I wonder if he's got a podcast that we should maybe check out.
He showed up on my feed the other day.
Oh,
it's pretty cool. So that's when I was like, "Hey, yeah." Awesome. So,
anyway, well, welcome. Big shout Thank out. You for joining us. And if you got any comments, make sure and you know just punch it in there, and we'll probably discuss it. Now you were talking about the Penguin and Danny DeVito. First of all, I want to state I love Danny DeVito. He's a fantastic actor. He is incredible.
He's a great actor.
This was a really different portrayal of the Penguin, probably a portrayal we've never seen before, and I don't think we've seen since.
There's a reason for that.
Yeah, see, I don't mind this Penguin, actually. It's weird, it's different, but I think it worked with the darkness of the film. You know, I think it just works with this film, this Batman. You talked about the pairings of the Joker and the Batman.
Okay.
I think it's a pretty good pairing between Michael Keaton and Danny DeVito. I think they do a good job. Steven is silent.
My mama taught me if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all.
I don't think I convinced you on that one.
No, well, look, I agree with you. Danny DeVito is a fantabulous actor. He really is. Did he do a good job acting in this movie? Yes, because he was given a character direction of the character, and do I think he fulfilled it? Yes. Did I like the vision for that character? No. But that's a personal preference. So,
well, and I understand how you feel on that. I feel that way about Luke Skywalker. Yeah, him eating the fish. That was gross. I feel the same way about Luke Skywalker in Last Jedi. I personally feel that Mark Hamill gave his very best acting performance in Last Jedi. It is not my favorite Star Wars. In fact, it is my least favorite Star Wars movie of all time. But he played the role the way he was
supposed to.
Asked to play it. Mm-hmm. And he hated it. He absolutely hated it.
You've got someone on your side.
He kind of, oh, nice, nice.
You can play a character well without the character being written well.
This is true. This is true. And I guess from your perspective, that's what Danny DeVito did in here. I'm with you, Wilkie. I kind of like this penguin. Is he my favorite? No, he's not my favorite. But I enjoy it, and I think it works well with this film. Oh my gosh,
we're almost have to do a Batman villains episode. The Joker.
I know. That's the bad thing about Batman.
That was not meant to be this episode, but it's turning into that. That's hysterical.
Are
you going to
include Gotham in that?
Are we going to include Gotham?
I didn't watch Gotham, though.
Oh, okay. Oh,
my favorite penguin came from.
He was good. He was really good.
I loved him.
Oh, my gosh. This could turn into we got to have a penguin episode.
Right? We love ourselves some Batman. Batman.
Okay. All right. So I am a fan of Return. Steven is not. Megan, how are you?
I'm a fan of Michelle Pfeiffer as Catwoman, though. That was definitely my. Just after our high school, almost said pubescent, but I was like, no, that.
Well, yeah, I was gonna say if you're a guy and you don't like Michelle Pfeiffer's, I'd say there's something wrong with you. But anyway, she's just she's fantastic. But anyway, Megan, how do you feel about Batman Returns? Oh, I just thought of something.
I'm kind of indifferent.
Indifferent. Okay. What exactly does that mean?
I know 89 the best out of all the first four, like
that's because growing up you watched 89 Batman and Star Wars Empire and Return like every other week, so
because you watched them.
Yes.
So I don't quite remember it, and I haven't seen it in a long time, I don't hate it as far as I remember. I never hated the last two either.
There's a reason why you do not remember Batman Returns as well,
because you don't watch it
that well much. No, I didn't watch it as much when you were growing up. And then there was a certain point, I don't remember, you're probably about, I want to say 9, I'd say. And I got to thinking about it, I'm like, wow, I don't think she's really watched Batman Returns. We should watch Batman Returns. And I put it on. And 15 minutes into the movie, I went, oh crap, now I remember why she hasn't watched Batman Returns, because there is so much sexual innuendo filled throughout that movie. And I mean, it is Danny DeVito, and you got Michelle Pfeiffer slithering around in a skimpy, not skimpy, but a skin tight outfit. I mean, yeah, what do you expect? I just didn't think about it and put two and two together. And I'm like, well, she's already watching it. Let's just finish this out. And it was one of my parenting moments I regretted for a long time. So no, you probably didn't. But, it was just something in my head that was like, yeah, this is one that I probably shouldn't have let her watch just yet. So that's probably the reason. You watch Batman 89 a lot.
Yes. I know very well.
Right.
So can we skip the next two?
Well, we gotta mention him. We gotta mention him. So
I don't have the hatred for these two that you guys do.
So now we get into the Joel Schumacher area.
Real quick.
Oh,
Wookie agrees. He said, "Hi, we have all done all those painting moments."
Thank you, Wookie. Thank you for helping or for agreeing with me. I appreciate that. Okay, now we go into the Joel Schumacher area of Batman. So this is Batman Forever and Batman and Robin. Warner Brothers had a moment where they decided that the Tim Burton era of films were just too dark, that they wanted to take them back to a more family friendly, of course, with all the bat nipples. I don't know if you could call that family friendly, but we'll get into that.
I don't know if you could call that family friendly with Ivy either.
Yeah, well, that's that falls into the bat nipples. but anyway, so it went to a much campier, colorful, almost looking like the 60s Batman. I have to say, I think Batman and Robin, I know I'm skipping over forever for a second, but I gotta say, I think Batman and Robin is even more campy than the 60s Batman.
Batman and Robin is the one that we always saw at Six Flags.
Yeah, you're right.
It was always Batman and Robin, and I never understood why it was always that one.
I don't understand that.
So, Six Flags used to have a restaurant that's now a taco restaurant. What was it called?
Villains Cafe.
Yeah, it was called Villains Cafe. And they always had
Batman Forever playing in it.
They were very rarely they'd have other movies playing, but it seemed like every single time, every other time, it was Batman and Robin.
I don't know if that's the only Batman movie they had access to.
I don't know either.
What?
I just know that that's why I know that movie the most, because it was always playing. And we really liked that restaurant, so we were there a lot when we went to Six Flags.
So, well, let's jump back. Let's circle back to Batman Forever for a second. So we got Batman Forever. That's the first of the Schumacher ones. That is Val Kilmer playing Batman. I had mixed feelings when Val Kilmer took over the role. Number one, because I love Michael Keaton. Number two, I also love Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer was an excellent actor. And I'm like, I just don't know about this. And you actually had a fantastic cast in here. I mean, you got Val Kilmer as Batman. They brought Chris O'Donnell as Robin. I have to confess, I do have a Chris O'Donnell Robin statue. Because when the Warner Brothers store was in St. Louis and they had a huge sale and I got a great deal. It is a great looking statue. I don't want to show it on camera right now because it needs to be dusted. But so I picked it up because it just looks fantastic. But anyway, so you had Chris O'Donnell as Robin. You had Tommy Lee Jones as Two-Face. Now, I had mixed feelings on that one too. And then we had Jim Carrey, who you would think, oh well, he's perfect as the Riddler.
I like him as Riddler.
I gotta say, I'm just not as big a fan of him as the Riddler. And maybe it was just the portrayal of it this time. I don't know.
Well, the Riddler role or the Riddler character is genius. He made him more, it was goofy. More campy.
Yeah.
It was more goofy than the refined mental acuity of a villain who could see several steps, even almost the whole game ahead of everybody.
Again, Frank Ocean was better.
Yes.
Much more better.
Much more better. Cheers, everybody. How long have you been waiting to say that, Megan? That's a good one.
What?
Bon appetit.
I ran out of tea.
Right. Oh, I thought you said bon appetit instead of cheers.
Oh,
no. Bon appetit.
No, I said I ran out of tea.
Sorry, I trampled on your thought there, Stephen. You were talking about Jim Carrey as the Riddler and his role.
Your wife did a nice job. I agree with your wife here on this.
I love
that's actually a pretty good
character from the map almost. And that I've never thought of that, Brenda. Thank you for saying that. I think that's what my issue is. I'm like, well, this is just Jim Carrey. This is not,
yeah,
this is not a Batman character. But anyway, that's enough I want to say about Batman Forever and Batman and Robin.
Well, no, I want to go on to Tommy Lee Jones for a minute.
Okay.
Because again, Tommy Lee Jones, he's one of those actors that I absolutely love. And I had reservations going into this because I was looking forward to Billy Dee Williams, because Billy Dee Williams was introduced in Batman 89 as Harvey Dent. Mm-hmm. And I was looking forward to his portrayal of the Two-Face just to see how he was going to play it. And, you know, I was really excited. Mm-hmm. And again, Tommy Lee Jones is one of those classic Hollywood actors that mm-hmm. Hollywood's running out of those. They're running out of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Tommy Lee Jones. But again, the Two-Face was very campy.
Yeah, I think it was the direction of the film and what they were wanting to do. Because even I was put off by Tommy Lee Jones being so campy, because I'm like, that's not that actor. That's not his.
I agree.
That's not Agent K.
No, Two-Face should be quite. What did you say, Megan?
That's not Agent K.
Agent K. Oh, yeah.
That's also who he is.
No, I agree. I know. Yeah, I love. Yeah, Men in Black. Men in Black is a great series. Tommy Lee Two-Face just disappointed me in this film. And then the last thing we're going to say about Batman Forever, I feel that they reversed the roles of Batman and Bruce Wayne. I felt that when Val portrayed Batman, it was more Bruce Wayne, and when he portrayed Bruce Wayne, it was more Batman. And it's just weird. It's weird. All right, so that's it. No more about Batman Forever. Now we'll move on to a bigger mess. Batman and Robin. Oh my gosh. Here's where the bat nipples come in.
Oh. Did you see Wookiee agrees that it's put off by Two-Face and Riddler in that one?
Oh. Thank God I'm not the only one. I didn't think I was anyway, but yeah, I think most people are put off by them. Yes. So now we have the really, really campy one, Batman and Robin. Gave them all new bat suits and everything. Oh, that was one last thing I forgot. Batman Forever. Michael Keaton actually did try out the costume that Val Kilmer wore. And I'm still looking for photos of it, but I've heard so many times that Michael Keaton actually tried the fitting on it, because he was originally supposed to be that Batman. And then he and Joel Schumacher couldn't agree on the direction that Bruce Wayne and Batman were going in. And that's when he walked off and said, I'm done. I won't do it anymore. Kudos to Michael Keaton for that.
Right.
He is a great actor. Smart choice. Very smart. but anyway, so now we bring in the bat nipples, and they put bat nipples on every suit.
Right. Let's get over the bat nipples. That's too
much. I can't unsee it. Look, if I have to see it, y'all have to see it. That's all I got to say.
Everyone, Michael is suffering from post-traumatic bat nipple disorder.
Oh, this movie was such a mess. It was terrible. Again, great casting. I mean, as far as great actors, you have Arnold Schwarzenegger as Mr. Freeze, and he had some funny lines. I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm.
what killed off the dinosaurs? The Ice Age. Right. Yeah. I mean, there were some funny lines, but
again, it was kid oriented, I think, and they tried to make it as such, and it just
kid oriented with bad nipples.
Yes.
Supposed to be.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not buying it. I just not buying it. And then Uma Thurman was very sexualized also. Yeah. Still not kid friendly. Nope. I don't agree. Just saying.
Now I have Fall Out Boy in my head.
Now, Megan, you said that you don't have as much hate for these movies, or?
No, probably because I don't watch them.
Okay.
In entirety.
Okay. I'm not going to go anymore on Joel Schumacher. We're done with that. Let's move on to a better trilogy.
Yay!
Let's move on to the Dark Knight trilogy.
Yes.
See, this is more my wheelhouse. I love the Dark Knight. So first we had Batman Begins, which is the Chris Nolan trilogy. And what was that? I just need one of those suits so I can have six pack abs. Well, that would be almost any bat suit. That's for sure. I agree with you. Yeah, I need that too. I do have t-shirts with the, with the printed on there.
With the bat abs.
Yeah, it doesn't quite have the same effect as the, yeah.
Not dad abs. Not
no. The, no, I already have dad abs.
Yeah.
I have that. I don't need that. I don't have bat abs.
Right.
All right, so we're moving on to Chris Nolan's Batman trilogy, and it begins with Batman Begins. Now, I did not get to watch all the Batman movies this week. I wanted to, but I just didn't have the time. We got a new dog. So
right.
The dog has kind of took up a lot of my time. But if I pick one Batman film out of the Chris Nolan trilogy to rewatch, it of course is The Dark Knight, because it's my favorite. I go back and forth between 89 and Dark Knight are my favorite Batman movies.
Sure.
But Batman Begins, it's a great movie. I like the fact that we have Ra's al Ghul portrayed in it as Liam Neeson. And we all know
you
I love
Liam Neeson as Ra's al Ghul, or Ra's al Ghul as Liam Neeson?
Well, yeah, that's kind of a juggle there. You're right. But regardless, we got Ra's al Ghul portrayed in a Batman
movie. It was a great reveal. I didn't see it as it was.
I didn't either. Yeah, it was a pretty good twist. I enjoyed that twist. I have to say, Batman Begins is a bit of a slow burn, though. It takes some time. It takes some time to get to the action, and I get it. You're establishing Bruce Wayne and all that.
Yeah, I think that's just Christopher Nolan's style, that most of his movies are slow burns.
You think?
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Yeah. Inception, slow burn, interesting in the, you know, different parts, but a slow burn.
But see, I didn't feel that way with The Dark Knight, though. It wasn't a slow burn at all.
Oh, I feel like Dark Knight was a slow burn.
Really?
Yeah. Because
I mean,
it had sporadic, these really good little action sequences, just, you know, peppered through. That's how Batman Begins was, action sequence peppered into it. Dark Knight Rises, action sequences peppered into it to try to do this big thing at the end. And that's just Christopher Nolan's style, in my opinion. So,
well,
even you can disagree with me, well, and you're still wrong. I'm just kidding. I'm teasing.
No, that's right. I'm just saying, I enjoy Batman Begins. I just feel it's a bit of a slow burn. That's just my opinion on it. Dark Knight, though, fantastic. It's hard to top Heath Ledger's portrayal as the Joker.
It's a great portrayal. It's my favorite. My personal favorite is that one.
Oh my gosh, he's so good. And so many great lines. After all, that's why I titled this one, Why So Serious? I want to know how I got these scars.
Yeah.
The hype.
You still don't get the hype.
Mm-hmm.
What do you mean? You don't get the hype of Heath Ledger?
The biggest fan of Heath Ledger.
That's okay.
I like it when he comes up to the one guy. You remind me of my father.
Don't get me wrong. I love the lines. I love the lines. I don't know.
Oh, the magic trick. The magic trick.
That's my favorite.
Hey, the magic Sam's trick. Still here. What, Sam? Are we keeping you up, man?
I think he meant can't sleep.
Oh, can't sleep.
He said speak.
I hope we're not keeping you awake. Then again, if we are, then maybe that means our episode's interesting. Yeah, I agree. Your mom said, "What? Wait, how come it's not showing?" There we go. What? He's phenomenal. I agree. He is phenomenal. I go back and forth between him and Jack Nicholson of which one's my favorite Joker. Yeah, but he's put on such a great performance. He's fantastic. It's hard to top that.
I don't disagree that his performance is fantastic. I don't disagree with that. I just don't like that Joker all that much.
Yeah, I think he can't sleep. That's what it is. Anyway, well, maybe it's like you said. Maybe it's you prefer the... the mobster style Joker. His Joker is more of a
anarchist.
Yeah, more of an anarchist. He's not really out for anyone. He wants to cause. Well, he says it best in the movie. You know, plan. I don't have a plan. I'm like a dog chasing a car. I wouldn't know what to do with it if I caught it. You know, and I love that portrayal. Sorry, I really get into his lines. His lines are phenomenal. Now I gotta say, there are some things that are not great in this film. Christian Bale's Batman voice is terrible.
Yes.
Hockey pants. Sorry. Do you think? Let me ask you this.
I thought of you the other day too.
Let me go back to Val Kilmer for a second, because this is the same thing with Val Kilmer. Val Kilmer. I thought he switched his voices. In other words, his Batman persona was more Bruce Wayne, and his Bruce Wayne persona was more Batman.
Agreed.
So when you talked about the voice of Christian Bale, it kind of brought me back to that. Going, okay, yeah.
But I don't feel Bale's Batman is Bruce. I just feel his Batman voice
too grovelly.
I just don't like the voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think they should have redubbed it.
Maybe they did.
Oh gosh. Well, then again, we can get into that with Bane too. The Bane voice is terrible too. Yeah. And I love Tom Hardy. Don't get me wrong.
I feel like you're in charge.
Exactly. It just kind of became
weird.
A joke.
It was weird. I mean, I was excited about the character. It was an interesting take on the character.
I didn't mind the character really.
The character in the comics was better, but
wait a minute. He was what?
Yeah, in the comics, he was much more better.
Cheers.
Cheers, everybody.
Yeah, I agree with that. But you know what? It was a huge step up from Bane and Batman and Robin.
Absolutely.
That was a terrible Bane.
It was terrible. It was total 180 of who that character really is. The kind of villain he was. But they did do a nice job with the villain. His backstory was a little weird, but I enjoyed it.
Actually, his backstory is not far off. Bane actually was born in the prison and was brought up in the prison. That's kind of why he is who he is.
I knew he was in prison. He did a lot of reading in prison, self-development in prison, and then he volunteered for the Venom program while in prison, and it was a Spanish prison.
Right, yeah, it was. The Spanish, yeah, right. Correct.
Because I bought that comic before Nightfall hit, and I'm like, dude, I got a good return on my investment on that comic. I'm just saying.
Nice. So I don't mind it. I just don't like his voice. That's pretty much it.
Sure.
It's not a bad movie though.
It's fun to mock it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. It's definitely fun to mock it. He does a much better voice for Venom than he does, because Tom Hardy also plays Bane. Venom in the Venom movies.
Venom,
yeah, yes. His Venom voice is way better than his Bane voice. Oh my gosh.
It's Tom Hardy's Batman voice, but it's Venom. Just kidding.
Oh, so you're saying
that if Tom Hardy played Batman, the Venom voice would have been his Batman voice.
I kind of like that. Oh my gosh. Wow. That's mind blowing there, dude. Yep. Okay. What's Sam say here?
Favorite. Oops. Sorry, I'll pop it up.
Do you feel like you're in? Oh,
yeah. It was funny how he put his hand on him in the thing and. Yeah.
Oh my god. Well, yeah, you got to do that.
Scene.
It muffles your voice.
Yep.
And he is wearing the mask, so.
Yes.
You are in charge. Yeah, that was good.
That was Ben Mendelsohn. The actor was Ben Mendelsohn, who we see in the Star Wars films, and the villain in Rogue One. And
he was who?
When Bane stated that, and he put his hand on the other bad guy, and that was Ben Mendelsohn, and he was, "Do you feel like you are a charge?" Kind of a thing.
Okay.
Sorry.
Okay. Now, Batman, Batman Rises was supposed to go in a complete different direction.
Really?
Yes. Had Heath Ledger not died, he was going to be in the third film. He was going to be in Dark Knight Rises. And I don't know if they would have called it Dark Knight Rises still. But we were actually supposed to get Heath Ledger back as the Joker. He was supposed to return. And we were supposed to get the introduction of Harley Quinn. I have no idea who they were considering or if they had even gotten that far for who to play Harley Quinn at the time. But I know that Chris Nolan has went on record as saying that Heath Ledger was supposed to return. The problem was when he died, they felt that they just could not get an actor to come and
take his place.
Yeah, to reprise the role, the phenomenal job he did as the Joker in that series and be believable, you know.
I do agree that nobody else could have played that version of Joker.
No, definitely. Not he is one of a kind when it comes to that. He's just fantastic,
right.
So I wished we could have gotten that version. I'm hoping maybe since DC Comics has been doing the 89 Batman, they've been continuing it in the comic books, and I've been reading it. It's pretty good so far. And they've continued the 78 Superman, which I love. Christopher Reeve, I love his portrayal of Superman. So I'm reading the 78 continuations, and they've been really good and interesting. That's something I think DC should consider. They should consider maybe doing an alternate Dark Knight Rises story. And then, like our news last week, we found out that, our friend, the author. No, I can't think of his name. We had him on the podcast. He wrote Kenobi.
John Jackson Miller.
Thank you. Yes. John Jackson Miller has written a sequel to Batman 89. To me, it sounds like it's between Batman 89 and Batman Returns, and that'll be coming out in October. So if they're doing that, they should do something comic book wise, story wise. I don't know. I don't care. Give it to me in an audio podcast. I don't care, but try and reprise that and see what we could have gotten. I think it would be fun.
Yeah.
So, okay. That's all we got for the Dark Knight series, Chris Nolan. So now we move into more of the modern era of Batman. So we've had two new portrayals of Batman in this era. Going into the DCEU, we have Ben Affleck, or as we affectionately call him, Batfleck.
Yes.
Who was introduced in Batman v Superman as the new Batman. I rewatched Batman v Superman this week.
Nice.
Yeah, that movie is all over the place.
Agreed.
There are things I love, and there are things
I hate. Zack Snyder.
Yes, Zack Snyder. Yes.
Right.
Sorry, I heard a high-pitched squeal.
That's on my end. Go ahead, keep going. Okay.
Yes, Zack Snyder. What can we say about Zack Snyder?
Well, we're sticking with Batman. So let's say Batman.
Well, sure.
I enjoyed this iteration of Batman as the battle-worn, been through a whole lot Batman. I like that iteration because you got to get to see the glimpse of the Joker with on the, you know, ha 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 on the Robin suit and the, you know, here's a guy who's been through a whole lot kind of a thing.
I agree. I think Ben Affleck, what little he has gotten to portray Batman, I think he's done a great job with the role. I don't think you can really look at him and say he's done a bad job. I think he just hasn't gotten the chance to, you know, he doesn't get a full movie. If you put together all of his scenes, I think he's great. I think he's fantastic. Mm-hmm. Not my favorite, but he's good. He's really good. The guy has wanted to play Batman since he was a child. He grew up to play this role. He really did.
Yeah, it was a good version. And I liked him at that they brought him into the Flash movies.
Yes. Yes. That I have as my bonus on this list. But yeah, Batman v Superman, it's all over the place. There are good things in the movie. There are a lot of bad things, unfortunately. They tried to cram. This is a problem they've had in the past. They try to cram too much into it. They tried to mix both the
Doomsday story with
the Doomsday story, the death of Superman with the Dark Knight Returns story.
Yeah.
And you really, they should have been two separate films. They should have been two totally separate films is what they should have been. And you tried to cram everything together because he was rushing to get the Justice League together. There was no need to rush. You know, I have no problems without having, you know, without having the introductions to the characters. Everybody knows who Batman is. Everybody knows who Superman is. Everyone knows who Wonder Woman is. Have no problem with you throwing all three of them into one film and go. That's no big deal. But when you take two huge stories, such as The Dark Knight Returns and The Death of Superman, and you try to cram them into a 3.5 hour film, because the extended version is 3.5 hours, it doesn't work. It's just, it does not work. And that was the problem with that film. You just tried to cram too much story into too little time.
Yeah. So, and that's a Zack Snyder thing too. It really is.
He needs to work on that. He really does.
Right.
Okay. But
visually, it was great.
Oh, visually, it was beautiful. Hey, he's man, he does all these visual stuff that's so beautiful.
Yep.
Okay. All right. So Batfleck, and then we have to talk about the Batman, which is oh goodness, what is his name? Patterson.
Robert Patterson.
Thank you, Robert Patterson. I rewatched this mostly this morning. I got distracted from it a little bit here and there. I like it. Again, not my favorite Batman. Good stuff in the film. They took it to a more noir Batman. The detective Batman tried to do something different that we haven't seen in live action. No complaints there. That's fine. He does an okay job as Batman. I'm not overly displeased with him. I could do without the emo look. I could deal with him not being a jerk to Alfred. I hate that. He needs to have more respect to Alfred. That bothers me. Not a big fan of the Catwoman in this. She's just meh. Okay. That was Zoe Kravitz.
Kravitz.
Mm-hmm. Lenny Kravitz's daughter. Love his music, by the way. Phenomenal musician. But yeah, she was just okay. And the Batmobile, I like it, but I don't feel it's the Batmobile. It's just an awesome looking.
It's a souped up. It's like the beginning. It's like the precursor first draft of what will soon become a better Batmobile.
If right. I'm excited to see what they'll do with it in two. It just looked like an awesome muscle car is what it looked like to me. Yep. And it was. It was an awesome muscle car.
Yeah.
But does not compare to the 89 Batman, does not compare to the Tumbler. or the 66, by the way. Love those. So yeah. Robert Pattinson Batman, it's decent. It's a good film. I like it. Looking forward to where they're gonna go with it. Just not my favorite overall. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and
I agree. I did enjoy the detective side of it, Detective Comics side of it. Let's get the detective out. Yes. I enjoy that, but it was okay, kind of a thing. I am looking forward to the next one though too. So
agreed.
It could have been better.
And I think that's pretty much. Oh well, honorable mention: The Flash. We have to mention this before we wrap up.
Yeah.
Because you actually get the portrayal of three Batmans in it. You get Batfleck, who is working with the Flash in the beginning. I love that. He does a great job as Batman in it. He works really well as a mentor to the Flash. I enjoyed that a lot. Then we get the continuation of the Michael Keaton Batman, which obviously I absolutely love. Right. Thought it was a fantastic portrayal. I wished it ended differently. I wasn't fond, but I know that's kind of in a different universe because it's in the multiverse. But I think you have to include this movie in the Batman live action collection just because you have the portrayal of both the current, well, we can't really say current anymore,
right.
Batfleck and Michael Keaton. And then they do that little flip at the end of it that really was funny but irked me at the same time. So Flash
George Clooney.
Back, is that what you're talking about? Yes, and the limo pulls up, and I was expecting Michael Keaton to step out, which I think originally was in the script that Michael Keaton was supposed to step out because he was supposed to take over as the Batman of the DCU.
Right.
And instead we had George Clooney, which kind of like, okay, who the hell's Batman now?
Right.
So, again, it was funny, but at the same time, I was irked by it. I didn't like it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you did that just for a joke, and it just doesn't make any sense, actually. Yes, it's funny in the second that it happens, but after that, overall, it's just like, okay, well, that definitely means this movie means nothing then. It's just, yeah, it's there, so.
Right.
That's it. I think we've covered all the Batman live action.
All right. Well, cool dilioso. So we'll go ahead and wrap up, everybody. Sorry, we are over the hour, and I want you to make sure that you go to www.twogeeksmic.com. The number 2GEEKSMIC.com. Please check us out. That's where we have all things Two Geeks. You can check out from there. You can get to our Ko-fi page, which is where you can support us. We have a $1 tier, a $2 tier, and a $3 tier. And as I say every week, it's an opportunity for us to help pay for Mike's dog. Now, just kidding. Just teasing. But also, you can also go to our merch page from our website, or you can go directly to twogeeksmicmerch.com. If you want to connect with us, please check us out at show@twogeeksmic.com. Again, show@2geeksmic.com. Mike is really good at paying attention to any emails or notes that come in through that. So with that being said, anything else? Wilkie, thanks for joining us on the show. It was nice to have you.
Yes, thank you, Will. And thank you to Sam, too.
Yeah, Sam was here. Do you feel like you're in charge? That was good. I think he means he couldn't sleep, so he hung in there with us. So, Sam, we're glad that you hung in with us.
Yes, thank you.
You know. All right.
Yes.
And Mom. Yes. Yes. Yeah, hung out too as well. All right. Well, with that, Mike, anything else?
Yes. If you've made it this far, please go and like and subscribe to us on both Facebook and YouTube. Facebook, I try to post a lot of funny memes, any information about upcoming episodes there, and give us the bell, a little tickle over on YouTube that will let you know every time that we are going live. Speaking of going live, we go live every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Central Standard Time. You do the math on the rest, especially Sam, you in Australia, because I have no clue when you're watching it over there. Apparently it's at night. Anyway, I don't like math, so you do the math on the rest. With that said, I think we've got through everything. Anything else? Any last comments, funny anecdotes, anything else? All right. With that said, looking for the outro. Over and out, and see you next week. Same bat time, same bat channel.
Thank you for joining us today on the Two Geeks and a Microphone podcast. Tune in next week when we will have more news and reviews. Until then,
may the force be with you.